You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast. It's a production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot, and I have a very special guest today. It is a faggot. His name is Brian, and he is the faggot of a master named Gregory. And now Gregory approached me and demanded that I interview his faggot, Brian, and he had a special request that he wanted me to read to his faggot. Brian was completely unaware of this. He had never been on fagsworshipalphas.com. He'd known nothing about me, never read anything on the website. And so I thought that was a very strange, interesting thing to do. So I did it, and I got to tell you, I met one of the most fantastic faggots I've ever gotten the privilege to know and talk to. This interview was an absolute joy. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. It's very refreshing, and you're going to learn a lot, honestly, from this guy. So my brother, Brian, and I had a great talk, and here it is right now.
Target acquired.
This is the Hierarchy Podcast exclusive interview.
Okay, I am here with a faggot who is a servant of an alpha male named Gregory, Master Gregory. Why don't you give me your name?
My name is Brian.
Brian, okay. All right. My brother, Brian. Now, this is an unusual podcast, okay, because Master Gregory reached out to me and told me he wanted me to interview you, Brian, his faggot, because he had a special request that he was demanding that I read to you on air, and then I would be able to interview you a little bit and get some of your background. Okay. So I'm going to read, I'm going to read this prepared statement, from Master Gregory to you. Okay.
Okay.
And actually this is to any alphas that are listening to the podcast. Okay. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. This is a message from Brian's master to the superior alpha males who are listening. Brian's service as a faggot needs to be expanded, his horizons broadened, and his purpose fulfilled on a grander scale. If you are a true alpha male, a dominant who knows how to use a faggot, and you are in, near, or passing through the St. Louis area, message the email provided at the end of this statement. Your contact will be with me, his master, and the two of us will establish a time he can serve you. That time could range from a few hours to an evening to a succession of days. Groups of alpha men will jump the line. I want my faggot to know his purpose, not only with me, but with all superior men. I am not a stingy master. Use him. It's what he wants and needs. See him on ShareSome at SubSlutBria. That's at the at symbol, SubSlutBria. Message me, Master Gregory, to set up service. DominateBrian@gmail.com. Okay, that's the entire message. So what are your thoughts right off the bat? You've never heard that before, right? So
I have I, no nope I'm okay. I have not heard that. chills, but in a good way.
Okay.
Definitely caught off guard, but at the same time, maybe not a little bit. He's hinted before that that he wanted me to expand my horizons, and that he had no intention of keeping me entirely to himself. And he's kind of hinted at some surprises along these lines. So I am definitely caught off guard a little bit. It's that's pretty amazing.
Like, so you like it what you're hearing so far, right?
Oh, absolutely. And especially if it'll please him.
That's
and I know
awesome.
It'll please me because, yeah, I mean, because that's, you know, that's, I know
purpose.
You can relate. That's what I'm for. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Well, that's good. I'm glad you took it that way. I mean, I when I read the message myself, I thought, boy, what if he like flips out on the podcast? Or, like, what do I do? You know, what if he starts crying or something, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know? So it's good that you're enthusiastic about that assignment.
Yes, no, that's exciting. And I definitely did not expect, I knew eventually he'd branch out and start, I don't know, recruiting, for lack of a better word.
Like finding somebody to fuck in. You.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know how. And I got to be honest, if I'd made a list of 3 or 4 things, I don't even think this would have been on it.
You didn't know about the podcast. So
exactly. So very well delivered surprise.
Okay. Well, that's good. You must be kind of an extravagant master in terms of like a flair for the dramatic, I guess, or something. So
yeah, no question.
Admittedly, this is my very first time speaking to you or communicating at all with you. And I've only been really talking to your master for a week or so, I guess. This has been kind of in the works that long. Before that, okay. I never met him before, so I didn't know anything about him. And I still really don't, okay? So we're going to get into some of that here, I think. Tell me how old you are.
I am 32.
32, okay. How old is Master Gregory?
He is 51.
Oh, okay. All right. That's great.
Oh, I'm sorry. 52. I just recalled birthdays a few weeks ago.
Well, now you're going to get whipped again.
Yeah, most likely.
So, how long have you been serving him?
We are coming up on 3 years now.
Wow. That's great. Congratulations. It's definitely a rarity, you know.
Thank you.
How did you meet him?
I actually met him through my former alpha, my former master. Oh. I had a gentleman here, his name is Master Thomas, who lived here in St. Louis, but he was a contract engineer.
Okay.
And he actually lived in Boston, but he was in St. Louis for about 2 to 2.5 weeks of the month.
Hmm.
And so while his contract was going on here, I served him, you know, when he was in town, I would go down to his loft and stay there for the duration of his time that he was working here. And then when the project that he was finished up, his contract was over, he went back to Boston and didn't have anything else here in St. Louis. So he, rather than just sort of leave me hanging, kind of networked a little bit. And I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't ask a lot of details because that's not my place, but I know he met Master Gregory and they talked a lot, and it was basically like a deed transfer.
Right, exactly.
Transfer.
Right. This is something that alphas do outside of our, you know, purview usually. I mean, was there money exchanging hands on this or?
Not that I'm aware of. Oh, okay. I would be very surprised. They both, Master Thomas, both Master Gregory, do very well. So I doubt that was any of the motivation. I know for Master Thomas, his big thing was St. Louis is my home and always has been. And he had no intention from day one of ever, making me relocate to Boston. And he wanted to make sure I wasn't just floundering. So as far as I know, it was just doing his due diligence to find someone he trusted, because he's a very, and and Master Gregory has the exact same traits, which is probably why they were able to make a deal. Or, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that's the way to say it, but come to terms. but they're both very, very, they're both very protective. Very, they oversee and they're dominant masters and they assert that, but they're caring.
That's great. That's great. How long did you serve Master Thomas?
That was almost 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you were in your early to mid 20s when you started serving him.
Correct. Yeah. I think I'd probably just turned 24, maybe just out of 23, something like that. And, I'm a very loyal, submissive and very loyal bag.
I can tell that.
Yeah. The message you read at the beginning is super exhilarating for me because I really want to explore more, but I also, I guess you could say I'm a little nervous and scared because, you know, it's as a sub, as a fag, we're completely at people's mercy and will. And I'd rather be under the care of a real man.
Yeah, absolutely. I had my slut period early in my 20s to mid 20s. And then I began to settle down and serve kind of like you, really, more long-term, you know, alphas. And I just became kind of like, I just wanted to be like I wanted to serve just one man and just be like his property, you know, rather than just like go get 10 loads, you know, at the fucking, you know, club or, you know, behind a dumpster in a bar. I mean, whatever. It's just, you know, I wanted to really dedicate my life to serving men, you know, completely. So,
absolutely. I completely relate to that.
Yeah. You sound like you are just like, you're just like a little mini me.
Yeah,
I'm 40. So, I've been at it a little bit longer than that, but, still, you know, you sound a lot like me in terms of that. So, now he said that how many alphas have you been with altogether? He said like 7 or 9 or something like that.
I've been that number is only where it is because, so I started serving very young and I've always been, I learned about the dom sub and the fag alpha lifestyle pretty much as soon as I got started. Like I didn't really have a
that's great
a just
like a yeah, learning
I didn't,
curve
I didn't really have a, yeah like you know how sometimes like someone you hear a story about someone they say, oh well, I realized I was gay and then I came out and I did this and that, and then later on in life I dated someone who was kind of dominant. I didn't really have that. The first experience I had was very dominant, submissive.
Oriented. Yes. And oh my gosh. It's just like me. Oh, it's just like me.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, and I bet you can relate that I had little to no desire to do anything otherwise.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, for me, you know, my alpha friend, he's a straight alpha. He basically just forced me into being his cocksucker at age 17, out of the blue, you know, and like I knew I was submissive and gay, but like I didn't really understand anything about being a faggot until he came along. And he was just, he knew I was a faggot from the get-go, and he was always kind of teasing me about it. And then he finally just took me. And from there, the light bulb went on. And I was like, oh, this is the truth, you know? So there was no searching. I had very little soul searching to do, like just like you, you know? So why don't you tell me about your first time? Like how did you, you know, come to understand this at first?
Absolutely. So I grew up in a small town in Illinois. And I'm talking like 1,000 people.
Okay.
So a very small town. Yeah. And I probably don't have to tell any of the, any of just the gay men or gay anything or gay any women or whatever, or especially faggots that to this day, small town Illinois was not exactly the most accommodating and welcoming of the gay lifestyle. And and I share that because, so I grew up in this small town, and my neighbor and his wife got divorced when I was about 16. And I don't know why I said about, I was 16, I'm just gonna say. And they got divorced, and the rumor around town was that it was because he was gay, and that's why she left him. And he was, I think, in probably his mid-30s at the time. And when I found out about that, you know, I'd already, of course, been having fantasies and had, I already knew that I was into men. I knew I was gay. Right. I already knew that I wanted to be a bottom. I knew that.
Yeah, right. Same with
so
me.
It just felt right. And before his divorce, before she left, my parents were always very friendly with him, and they were very cool. And my parents are very forward thinking people. They're very open. So when that rumor got out, a lot of people kind of like ignored him and blacklisted this man. And my parents didn't. And they were still very nice and very friendly with him. And he had a pool that we were allowed to swim at. He used to let us come over and swim, some of the kids in my neighborhood. And most of the parents said you couldn't, you probably kind of get where this is going.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it, though. Okay.
Of course. Yeah. Most of the parents said when all this went down that, and when I say most, I'm talking pretty much all but mine, they wouldn't let their kids go over there anymore. They're like, you know, you're not going over there anymore. You know, this was, it's a lot's changed. I mean, this was only, I guess, 16 years ago now, but, you know, a lot's changed in 16 years.
Not that stuff, though.
Exactly. Especially in a small town.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I would go over there after school, that little window of time before your parents get home, those couple of hours, you know, where you're like the king of the castle.
Those beautiful couple of hours. Those are always my favorite. Those are my favorite times of the day.
Yep. Agreed. So I was going over there and swimming, and when I found this out, and he was always quiet. Before all this stuff came out about him, and then he was super quiet after that. But he was usually like, so the back of his house had this slider and a glass sliding door, and you could see the pool from there, and you could always see him in this recliner that he would just sit and watch TV. And basically he was just like, look, you guys can swim, I don't care, just don't pee in my pool and don't drown. That was pretty much his rule. And I'm like, okay. So I would go over there and swim. So when I found out about this, I went over there by myself a few times to swim, just normal swimming trunks and all that. And then one day I decided I was going to see what happened. And I just wore tidy whities basically. And so, you know, when you get those wet, they're pretty translucent.
Yeah.
And I swam like that, and I got out of the pool the first day I did that. And he came over, threw the glass door open, and kicked me the fuck out. he basically told me, what are you doing? Go put some swimming trunks on or get out of my pool. Like, I was like, okay, well, that didn't work.
Yeah. Maybe he's not so gay after all.
Yeah. And that, or I would later on find out why, but I would swim a couple more times in regular trunks. And to make a long story short, I did this a few times, and after about 5 or 6 times of the tidy whities, he stopped kicking me out. He just stayed in there, and he just, you know, he stopped throwing me out. And then, I don't know, maybe a dozen times in, I went over and I was like, I'm just gonna go for it, and I just swam naked.
That's right. I thought that's what we were leading up to.
Yep, I did that. And at that point, I got out of the pool at one point, and I noticed the sliding door was open, and he wasn't in his chair. So I was like, okay. So I kind of swam a little bit, and I kept looking over my shoulder, and the door just stayed open, and I still couldn't see him, and I'm completely naked. Right. And so I finally climb out of the pool, and I'm like, all right, you know, if you want to do this, you have to do this. You're clearly working it. So I walk into the house, and I kind of like look over my right, and somehow I don't see him, but he's to my left, and he pushes the door open from the far end of it, or pushes it shut, I mean. So it like shuts behind me. And he says to me, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm just swimming, I guess. And he says, just tell me what you're doing. And I told him, I said, I heard about, you know, this, what might be the case in your life. And I've had these curiosities myself, and I just kind of wanted to, you know, see what happens, maybe talk to you about it. And he says to me, I'll never forget it, this is verbatim, this is, you know, paraphrase a lot of stuff, but I remember this. He says, well, there's easier ways to talk to me than swim in my pool naked. So, but at that point I said, well, I guess if I'm not going to lie to you, I was hoping to do more than talk. And at that point, he had to say another word.
Soap opera dialogue. Yeah,
that, exactly, right? And at that point, he doesn't say another word. He bends down, puts his shoulder on my stomach, and picks me up off the ground. And he's fully clothed, and I'm fully naked. And he's carrying me down the hallway. So, I mean, and I, this is, like, effortless. And I'm, like, 5'11". I mean, I'm thin. I'm skinny.
Yeah.
But I'm not small, but I'm not big. You know what I mean?
You're just not heavy.
Yeah, I'm not very heavy, and he's just effortlessly carrying me down the hallway. And I remember this feeling of like, I am completely at this man's mercy right now. He's carrying me like a, you know, a bag of potatoes. I'm nothing to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes me and he opens his bedroom door and throws me onto the bed, right onto my back. And I remember this feeling of when I landed there, like not only was I about to have my first gay experience, but I realized, oh my God, there's like nothing I won't let him do to me right now. Nothing. You know, it was just, and I think it was just that force, the, you know, I think in my head, I thought it was going to be kind of, porn-like, and we might make out a little and it'd be all sensual, but he just took me right off the ground, threw me on the bed. And then he climbed on, he didn't even undress. He just undid his pants in the fly, and he had lube by the side of the bed and just, right at me. And I was on my back, you know, with literally my first view ever in a gay experience was on my back with my legs up over his shoulders, and he just started pounding.
Mm. And bred you?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How did you feel afterwards? I mean, were you like ecstatic or?
I honestly
confused,
felt. No, I'll tell you the truth. I felt amazing. It was because I was so I was confused beforehand.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like exactly. I was like,
that's why I was asking.
Yeah, like yeah, no, I was confused going into the scenario because I was like, do I want this? Am I gay? I don't know. You know, like I didn't know. And afterwards,
spoiler alert, you are.
Yeah, exactly. Question marks were gone.
Well,
and not only were they gone, but, you know,
they were fucked out of you. Like
100%.
Like, well, here's the thing. Like when you're taken by a man in that fashion, like the way my friend took me by just basically pushing me to my knees and saying, suck my dick, you know,
suck my dick.
And, you know, starts throat fucking me, you know. So like when you're taken like that by a man, it pulverizes any other thoughts you might have about what you are, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, instantly, you know.
Absolutely.
So did you continue to be his faggot after that or what?
I did, yeah. And he would later on tell me that the reason for kicking me out all that is because he was admittedly very concerned about the legality of it, you know.
Of course.
And, but for what it's worth, in the state of Illinois, 17 is the age of legal consent. At least it was then. And I was only a few months away. And as I tell the story, I was definitely the perpetrator, you know, of making it start. But yes, I did. I served him for basically the remainder of my high school time there in that area, about another 3 years or so. Yeah, well, I was about all the way up to the point I graduated and moved to St. Louis.
Did you, were you a live-in faggot for him or no? I guess.
No, I remained.
I remained
home.
You were at your parents' house. Yeah. So.
Yeah, exactly. So it was the neighbor thing, but it was so easy. I was just that little window of time between school and when they get home, right. I would go over there, and he worked from home. He is a stock trader.
Oh,
so
nice.
He worked from home. And I would just go over there and he would have his way with me.
There you go. So you moved to St. Louis for college?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I came down here, St. Louis University, and And I was actually born here and spent the first 10 years of my life here. So when I say I grew up in Illinois, it was, I kind of mean that because of the formative years, like 10 to about 19.
The puberty years.
Exactly.
Well, the years that matter.
Right. So me coming back here was really me coming home is what
right.
it really was.
Okay. I see. All right. So in college, what were your experiences like through college? I mean, there's tons of alphas in college, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and I actually, it's the smallest age gap I've had in someone. I didn't have any like inkling when I first started having these feelings of being gay that I was going to be exclusively into older men, but it just sort of happened. And maybe because of that first experience, that's what shaped that. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But I share that because I actually never had sex with anyone
what?
From my college, like my own age. Not one. No.
Just teachers and stuff? Professors?
Well, I tried that too. It didn't pan out, unfortunately. But no, I met, ironically, at least let me correct that, at my school, I met a professor of music from another college right here in St. Louis. Oh. And I was serving him for a few years.
Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. And he's the reason my number did go up to 10, because I've only had the three masters. There was him, there was Master Thomas and Master Gregory. And then you can definitely count the first man I was with.
Sure,
but the music teacher, he was the one who
he shared you a little bit.
Wanted me to have sex with more people. Yeah. Okay. And like he brought in a few other people and friends of his. Very sporadically, but it was about 3 or 4 years, and that's how I got up to the number 10.
Wow. Well, it sounds like your number's about to go up quite a bit. So
it does sound like that. Yes.
It does. I mean, it sounds like Master Gregory wants to really keep track of who is using you, though. I mean, it's not like you're just gonna, you know, be in a sling in some S&M club or something, you know. So
right.
Taking loads left and right, having people marking on your ass with a fucking magic marker or something. Although that sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You and I are like two fucking faggot whores.
No question. Denying that here.
Well, but I mean, I got to tell you, like, you've got a very bright personality. You're very open and stuff. You know, a lot of times this is something that I get from people who listen to the podcast and who talk to me. They always say, you seem proud and you seem happy about being a faggot. And I am, you know, like I don't know how you feel about it, but like I'm happy about being a faggot because I get to serve great, great men. You know what I mean? Like and I have a purpose. I understand my purpose and I'm honest about it, you know? What do you think about that? Do you feel that way? Or
I do. I literally couldn't agree more. And you know, it's funny because I've never looked at it. I know that like on a level of hierarchy, and literally if you look at it in like, you know, charts and all that, it is without question a subservient position, but I also feel like it's an important position. I remember
absolutely.
Right. That very first man who took my virginity and taught me, like, he was very, very into that's what I was saying. My first experience was dom sub oriented. Yeah. It was
Did he call you a faggot?
No, I've always been more I have no problem with being called a faggot and all of it. Sub has been more of my title.
Mm-hmm. Or boy.
So, boy, sub, fag, all of those are fine with me. But he referred to me more as a submissive, and he kind of taught me about how the role is not only fulfilling for me, and not only will I feel that fulfillment every time I do it, but that it's important that, you know, the alpha men of this world, they need release. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with me serving as that release.
Right. Yeah. How important is domestic service to you?
You mean like full time, like in regards to taking care of home and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, right, like serving as a domestic faggot. So, like, you know, cleaning and cooking and laundry. And...
Oh, absolutely. Okay, it, so it's very. I'm gonna be totally honest with you. My master makes good money, and to be totally honest with you, so do I. So we have a maid service. Nice. We both like I'm not full time at home. I work full time. He works full time. His mindset, and I actually thought about that. I was like, you know, I'm always naked at home. That's the rule. I'm always collared.
So he collared you?
I'm more than happy. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Good. Are you in chastity?
And I've told him I am, yes.
Very good. Well, good boy.
Yep.
How long have you been in chastity now?
That was so early in our dynamic. I think it was within a year. So about 2 years.
But was that your first time with chastity?
Yes, he introduced me to chastity. Not the collar. I've been collared before, but he introduced me to chastity.
Okay.
For
me, since we don't know each other, I guess we're sharing things. So, like, for me, I never in all my time serving as a faggot, nobody had ever put me in chastity. I have a very small penis, and like it, I never even thought to even touch it when I was in the presence of a man ever, you know, let alone like get hard, you know, but, so I guess it never was an issue with anybody, you know, but, like in March of 2020, I just couldn't take it anymore. I had voluntarily stopped masturbating like 3 years prior to that, but I just was like, I'm using a urinal like a man. I mean, it's not right, you know? And so I finally just caged myself, you know, just kind of as a symbolic honoring of men in general, you know, but I think that faggots come to a certain point where they have to make that decision about chastity and accept it, you know? So chastity has been fine for you so far, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I've always, if anything, I would refer to it as a amplifier. And
yes.
What I mean by that is.
Yeah. No, no.
So I know exactly what you mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, the first time the first man that ever fucked me, that story I just told, I had an orgasm without, hands-free.
Hands-free,
soft dick orgasm.
Right.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like I didn't know that was possible. And it was, by the way, better than any like jerk off orgasm by a million miles. Not even close.
Do you feel like he cunted you?
You
may not be familiar with the term. I use the term often on the website, and I've actually defined it. A cunting, that it's probably one of the most quoted posts of the entire website are the posts on cunting, because people are fascinated by it. And it is kind of it's a very special type of kind of orgasm, internal orgasm, you know, that it's hard to put into words, but there are symptoms to it. Like shaking, or like uncontrollable shaking, or sometimes faggots get really emotional and start crying afterwards and things like that. I don't know if you've ever experienced any of those kind of.
I have. I've nearly passed out before.
Passing out's another one.
And I've had men tell me too that when that is happening, they can feel it. I guess I get kind of tight.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Your muscles are gripping, you know, clenching.
Yeah, which is funny because I never feel tight in that moment. It always feels like I'm just getting pounded loose. You know what I mean? But I've never heard the term that way, but I kind of assume that's what you meant. But
exactly.
I absolutely feel like that happened, and it happens regularly. And the chastity amplifies that.
Amplifies
it,
even
stronger.
Right. Exactly.
And to your point, it's also a reminder.
Reminder. Right. Exactly. I like, you know, because I've been caged continuously since then, and like everywhere I go, it's just a reminder of my place in comparison to the other men who are around me at all times, you know?
And, right.
you know. Now, how open are you about being a faggot to the people you know in your general life?
Not very, but I'm also, it's weird. I always say I'm not in the closet, but I'm also not out of it. Like, it's kind of a
way. And shoving in people's face. Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, exactly. And I've had people ask me, like people that I work with and older friends are like, so are you gay? And I'm like, yeah. You know, and I like, if they want to know the dynamic and they want it kind of like I'm talking to you here, if they want to know, I'll tell them.
Right.
But I, you know, it's not a broadcast thing for me. I just, it's,
I'm a little bit more militant about it. Probably like I, like if, you know, they'll ask me a certain question, I'll be like, well, I'm a faggot, so it doesn't really matter or something like that. And they'll be like, what? And then I talk to them about it and they go, oh, okay. You know, I use it pretty liberally in my, everybody in my general life knows, other than my family.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go and tell mom and dad that because I don't need to listen to it, but, and I want to stay in the will.
Right, right.
I want to stay in the will too. But,
yeah, of course.
That's great. I mean, gosh, it's shocking to talk to you because I was not expecting this conversation, honestly.
Neither was I.
Well, you definitely weren't, but like no. Master Gregory, the way he kind of described you, you felt like you were this kind of timid thing that he was just gonna toss out to the wolves, you know. And I'm going, what am I gonna get into with this conversation? And I was really concerned about it, but you're very bright, sex positive, faggot positive brother of mine. I'm really, really, really proud to have gotten to know you because that Master Gregory has gotten himself an amazing faggot, really an amazing faggot.
Well, I really appreciate that, Sam. And I promise I'm going to dig deeper into the website.
I'm warning you now. Once you start going down into that rabbit hole, that website, it's massive. You're going to be, you're going to be in there for a while.
I believe it.
My main purpose with the website is to get the truth about hierarchy out to, I'd like to push it into the mainstream, you know, but the one thing one thing I really want to do is get rid of the stigma of the word faggot.
Yeah.
Like you use it freely and you admit to it freely. And so like, I want that to be the norm, you know, like where somebody could say I'm a faggot and people will know what that means, you know, and accept it and not ban it on Twitter or Tumblr or something like that. You know, like you can't use the word faggot because people are, it's a crime against nature. No, it's nature.
Yeah.
You know, but
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. And that's something like that I've kind of been about, very similar. Again, I have no problem with faggot, but I've always identified more on the sub spectrum. But the part that I've always kind of very similar to what you're saying is I've been kind of like trying to get out there. Like, I don't know. I've seen so much like, I don't know, fan fiction and writing and these blogs. And it's like the fag or the sub is always this, like this useless person. And I'm like, you know, you can be like,
yes,
successful and intelligent and articulate and still serve that role.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're a slave where the owner locks you in a cage and whatnot, and just, you know, I mean, I know of situations like that. I've covered situations like that. But generally speaking, you know, what master would not want an intelligent, goal setting faggot as his property?
Agreed. I mean, to your point, I guess one who's looking for a slave or an object, that'd be about it.
That's right. I mean, but what a waste of a, of a human being, like a productive faggot piece of property would be such a decoration in an alpha's life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, And I look down on alphas who denigrate faggots, you know, treat them like ashtrays and what, I mean, just kind of stupid shit like that. Where I think
that's never been my thing either.
Right. I mean, this is my view. Okay. And I see if how you view it, but like, I look at faggots like a man's dog, you know, like a man has affection for his dog, you know, and, you know, and the dog loves him unconditionally and does whatever the man wants him to do or whatever. And the man shows him compassion. He takes care of the faggot, et cetera. You know, it's absolutely, that kind of relationship, you know, rather than, you know, an abuse object.
Right. Right. Well, and, you know, and to your point there, that kind of harkens back and takes us back to the very beginning of this conversation, because, again, I've been a loyal sub to these men, and I've been serving since mm-hmm. I started, and yeah. because of that my numbers are low, but I really want to serve more, and Master Gregory knows that, but he'll only let it happen if he oversees it. Like that email that was provided, that's not mm-hmm. mine, that's his.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he uses that for the lifestyle. That is my share some page, of course. Mm-hmm. But he you know, that people will be speaking directly to him, and I'll know that through his talking to them, I'll know wherever I'm going, I'm safe. And that's what's important to me, because whereas I am a sub, I am all about serving superior alpha men. I also take care of myself, and I want to be taken care of. So that's, I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Is this situation something like, do you want like one time deals, or, I mean, do you want somebody to just take you into a hotel room for a couple of hours and fuck the hell out of you and then give you back to Master Gregory, or how? I don't know what the end game is for this.
I'll tell you the truth. That's probably something that we'd have to ask him. Mm-hmm. My guess is he's more of a, if I had to guess, and I probably will be in trouble if I'm wrong here, but I'm going to try. He's more of a, he'll probably want to talk for a bit. He'll want to get to, and by that I mean it'll probably be mostly emails, maybe text. It depends on how he's feeling in that regard. Mm-hmm. But he'll be looking for something like, if someone lives here, I know he's not opposed to sharing me regularly. Okay. Now, if someone's passing through town on business, and I say that one I know I'm right about because he's told me that. If someone's passing through town and they're, you know, just here for a night or two,
pump and
maybe
dump.
He's looking to. Yeah, that, or even like say they're coming in and they want someone available, you know, Monday and Tuesday when they're not here working, Monday, Tuesday evenings, maybe that, I'm not sure, you know, mm-hmm. maybe I go to the hotel room instead of home after work.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I really honestly don't know. That's a very good question.
Which do you prefer? Like deep down, what turns your crank?
I'm really good either way, but if I had to choose a preference, it would be, I like a little bit more regularity. I'm totally mm-hmm. fine with a one-off, but especially if it's like, oh, well, I'm flying out tomorrow morning. Okay, well, no problem. We only have time for a one-off, sure. You know, but if someone's here and they would, you know, want some kind of regular service, I'm 100% down for that. And as long as Master Greg approves it, then it'll happen.
Okay. Do you refer to him as Master Greg or Master, or how do you refer to him usually?
I always call him, he's okay with either one. I've done, and to tell you the truth, we use sir. I use sir a lot.
Okay.
Again, I'm a little bit more on the sub spectrum, so that's where sir comes in real heavily. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we use that. And honestly, he comes across, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm going to say it anyway. he's
very gonna stern, paint, very assertive. He's going to paint your back porch red. Oh, I'm telling you.
No question. But he's very stern. He's very assertive. He is without question an alpha male. Yeah. He's a really good guy. He's a really good guy. And
well, that's not bad.
You know, if I've slipped up and just said, if I've said Gregory or Greg without a title, usually the punishment is sort of administered in like a fun, playful way. So yeah, it's really a fantastic dynamic.
It sounds like it. I mean, I'm really this conversation has been amazing to me. Like, I really, I can't believe that there's another faggot out there that's like me in a lot of respects. I mean, like, I feel like I'm talking to my younger self, actually.
That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah. I don't know if you want me to be your older self, though, but let's just put it that way. Yeah, it's been really a wonderful conversation. And I must tell you that I just commend you to high heaven. You are an incredible faggot, and I am really proud of you, boy. And and I'm really, really proud of your master too. I mean, what an alpha, you know, he is. And he's looking out for you for sure. So
absolutely. Anyway, I really appreciate saying that.
Yeah. He's been, it's not like we've gotten into major conversations. He's kind of to the point, at least with me, but
yes.
But it was clearly that he was in control, you know? And so, but both of you are just very impressive, and I hope that we can kind of keep in touch with each other somehow or another, because I really don't want to lose touch with you guys. So,
absolutely. Yeah. No. Well, and if I'll get his permission first, but I know you've already got his email, but I'll send you mine as well. I have to get his permission to do that. I don't foresee a problem,
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the ones I will legitimately get in trouble with, because especially if I say it here on the air, because he wants people to him.
I'll cut that out if you do that, so it doesn't matter.
I'll wait and get his permission in general, and then I'll email you personally as well, as long as he's okay with it, which I'd be very surprised if he's not.
Right. Well, I really hope that we can continue to talk, and thank you for blessing this podcast with your presence. This was just a truly refreshing conversation, and I feel like I'm on cloud nine after talking to you. So I can see why these masters have prized you so much.
Really. That means the world to me, honestly. That really means a lot. I really appreciate you saying that.
Okay. Well, Brian, it's been my pleasure, and I hopefully Master will be happy. And alphas out there in the world, come to St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States, and come fuck this boy, all right? Because
I'll be here.
Okay. Well, Brian, thank you very much for being on the podcast. All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye.
End transmission.
Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, all I can really say is that Master Gregory owns one of the premier faggots out there. He's got his head on straight. He's bright and intelligent and funny, and he's humble and submissive and grateful to serve men. Just a fantastic fucking faggot for sure. And I am so, so proud. Gosh, he makes me proud, even more proud than I'm normally about being a faggot. He makes me very proud that I can call him my brother. And I'm still, a day later, I'm just still kind of, rainbows and sparkles in my eyes from getting to talk to a younger faggot like him. And I commend Master Gregory to the moon and back for owning this faggot and bringing out the best in this faggot. Any alphas who want to go and use Brian while you're in St. Louis or in Missouri, I definitely recommend that you contact Master Gregory about using him, because I think you will have a great, great time, a very memorable time. Anyway, I really hope that Brian gets fucked seven ways to Sunday from this podcast. Hopefully we can get some video or something. Or maybe I'll just go there and watch and participate. So anyway, extraordinary privilege to talk to him, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. So I'm going to let you go. I have a million other things to do today, so I can't sit around and blather on about Brian. I hope you have a good day. Thank you for listening. Love ya. Bye.